Well, praise the Lord. You remind me of the congregation I used to pastor some years ago now. Praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. I was several years ago, and time moving on, I declare, time moving on. Brother Mark Holcomb, do you realize it's been almost 30 years, 29 and a half, since you sang and played at Sister Hudson and I's wedding? 29 plus years, we're now planning our 50th wedding anniversary. Time and place to be announced. You're all invited. If you don't think you can make it, we'll go ahead and take the gift now. But I was teaching at a seminary extension a few years ago, and one of my students was the youth pastor at the Jehovah Missionary Baptist Church. Now, I'm assuming by that name you would understand that that was one of the leading largest African-American churches in our community. So he said, we're having our Good Friday celebration, and we're going to have a special service that Good Friday. And the if Dr. Newton would okay it, would you have a part in that? And they were going to assign the seven last sayings of Jesus to respective pastors and preachers. And so Dr. Newton concurred, and they asked me to have a part. And I was assigned today, this day, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, got there. This church is packed out, of course. And I took a few from the church. So there were a few white folks. They treated us very good. We got there, and we had 20 minutes. So I watched them, and I could tell as I walked up to the platform, they kind of had this look of, oh, no, another dry white preacher. Well, the Lord helped us tremendously, but I was preaching just a few minutes in, and it kind of looking like you are. And I said, I looked over at him and I said, now come on and say amen and quit acting like a bunch of white folks on Sunday morning. And I tell you, that was it. They shouted the house down with me. But now I understand we white folks, all right? I understand how we do things on Sunday morning. I really do. So I'm going to be kind of mindful of this clock right here, because I know us white folks, by 12 o'clock, we ready to head for the dinner table. Most of our others, a little more colorful individuals, they're just getting it cranked up then. But let me say, it is a thrill. It is an absolute thrill for Sister Hudson and I to be here. It's been probably way too long. And we have tried for I don't know how long. Now, we're usually in Myanmar, which is on the other side of the world, during your camp meeting. It's a rather long commute to get back and forth. So, but last October, we were preaching the camp meeting for Brother Jerry Turner in Red Springs, Alabama. And I said, now we are going, the Lord willing, we're going to slip in Savannah. We're going to do it. And I don't know if you heard we were coming or what, but y'all scheduled a hurricane that weekend to pretty much shut everything down. So anyway, here we are today, and it has been a pleasure. I want to say this. It has really been a pleasure working with Brother Ralston at the Richlands meeting. Now, Brother Ralston, I don't know if you feel this way or not, but I would like to think that they're calling us back to the Richland meeting is because we've been a blessing. But I've got this nagging feeling. Now, this is our third year. I got this nagging feeling. They're saying, all right, guys, we're going to give you one more chance. You strike out this time, three strikes, you're out. I just got that nagging feeling down there. So it is an honor to be here today with, well, not only you, but I say this respectfully, and I don't get to say it often, and I mean it. It is a pleasure to be here with Dr. Ralston and his wife. I like that. Okay. Good to see you. Yeah. I mean that. Yeah, I really do. Got a lot of new faces here, a lot of old faces too. Some of our friends that we've known for years, and some of you, I'm sorry, I didn't hardly recognize you. I know you knew who I was. I look the same as I've always looked, but some of you have changed just a little bit. It's amazing what time does, but it's so good to be with you this morning. So thankful for what the Lord is doing here at the church and the many things. And I was walking these grounds, and if you see a little suspicious character, about 4:35 o'clock on the grounds on the cameras. That was me. I was walking around these grounds praying this morning, just thanking the Lord for how he's blessed and what he's done. And so I want to say I'm just thankful to see how the Lord has blessed you. All right, a lot of things I could say. Let's get right into the word of the Lord. I was praying early this morning. The Lord dropped this in on me a couple years ago. Time runs together now. And I preached it one Sunday morning and kind of forgot about it. And then earlier this year, it seemed the Lord kind of dropped it back in on me. And I preached it several places. Now, if you have a problem with the preacher preaching the same message more than once, you probably will fall out or would have fell out with the Apostle Peter. If you read the first few books, or rather chapters of the book of Acts, it matters not where he starts. He's always back on the same message. You crucified the Lord of glory. You put him in a tomb, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. I challenge you to go and read the first few chapters of the book of Acts and see how many times he gets back to that message. So if you have a problem with that, but somebody said this morning, said, Brother Tim said, I'm really excited about hearing you preach. I said, well, listen, I hear me all the time. It's, pardon my English, it ain't all that exciting. It's not, I understand. But I want to share this with you this morning, and I want to start off in the book of Lamentations. And if you have your Bible and are able to stand for the reading of the word, I understand some of you are not. I do want to say I appreciate my wife who's here. I think I saw her over there. And I probably should have had her testify, but I do appreciate her. And we are working in Myanmar, which is on the other side of the world, in addition to stateside. So I appreciate her. Also, please remember, some of you might remember, I must be very careful here, our oldest daughter, she is serving our sweet Lord in China. Now she is back home for a few weeks, and she will be back to the other side of the world. So remember that young 24-year-old girl who's on the other side of the world working for our master. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse number 12. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Now, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 16, and this is a rather difficult passage. I think you'll understand as I endeavor to read it. Romans 16 and verse number 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stages, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved of Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphenia and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, I want to call your attention to verse 7 of this. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. If the Lord will help me for a few minutes, I want to preach to you on who would have ever thought. Who would have ever thought? Would you raise your hand and ask the Lord to help us? Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to be back in this pulpit, and we thank you for the things that you have done here in this place. And I'm asking you to be mindful of me this morning and give me favor. Help me to say what I need to say, that which does not need to be said, to leave alone, and most of all, deal with hearts and move in this altar. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, and you might be seated. Now, I know it is probably raising a question in your mind, is there any relevance in Lamentations chapter 4 and Romans chapter 16? But if we can look at Lamentations chapter 4 again in verse 12, actually I would like to extract a phrase there when the prophet says, would not have believed. And if you will look at this contextually, what he is saying as he laments the state that Jerusalem is now in. Remember, Jerusalem is an absolute ruin. The Chaldeans have ransacked it. They have completely just made a mess of what had one time been a beautiful, beautiful, well-known capital city. At one time, that city had served as the seat of government for the likes of David and Solomon. And Solomon's wisdom had so spread abroad that people came from afar to just hear what he had to say. When they arrived as the Queen of Sheba, she was overwhelmed by the majesty of his kingdom. Now that same city lies in ruin. And the temple has been stripped of everything of any value whatsoever. And the prophet, as you read this, and I must be honest, I read this not long ago, and as I read it, I cried. I thought, dear God, am I reading a picture or seeing a picture of what is going to come upon the United States of America in days to come? The reason being, as you well know, Israel had fallen into idolatry. They had rejected the God of their fathers, and because of that, God had brought judgment on them. And so as the prophet is looking over all of this, thinking, remembering what it was in bygone days, he says of the enemy, the kings of the earth, they would not have believed. And so in one way, he's saying, who would have ever thought that this beautiful city would be in the shape that it's in right now? So if I could extract that little phrase, would not have believed, and just kind of reinterpret it in a more common phraseology and say, who would have ever thought? Now, with that in mind, I'll have to ask you, how many of you would have ever thought, especially some of you old timers who we love so dearly, how many of you would have ever thought that you'd see the United States of America in the shape that it's in now? I never dreamed that I would see the day that same-sex marriage was now the norm, if you will. And sadly, even though there is a resistance to it among some, I think the latest statistic that I read suggested that the older generation, you senior citizens, I need to qualify that, you Social Security recipients, because Sister Hudson now going to a restaurant, they don't even ask. They just give us senior discount. And which 10%, 10%, 10%, so if you give, I'll take. But the reality is, your generation, absolutely not. Totally against it. My generation don't really agree with it, but you know, if that's what you want to do, each to his own. Now, the younger generation, it's what's the big deal? What's the big deal? But I never dreamed when I was just a young fella that we would be at the place we're at now. But here we are. Here we are, and we know as time progresses, things are going to get worse. But I'm glad of all the things that have changed, there's one constant, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And no matter what happens, he will always be the same. And I want you to notice what links in that verse in Hebrews, what links the past with the present and the present with the future, that conjunction and, putting them on an equal level, if you will. What held the generation of yesterday is what's holding the generation of today, and it will be the same thing that will hold the generation of tomorrow, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can somebody say amen? A lot of changes, but there's one thing that will always be the same. Jesus Christ. And so we have that assurance, do we not? But now let's fast forward, if you will, to the book of Romans. And let's look at this. Now we have in Romans chapter 16, we have Paul's salutation, and he goes through this long list of names, and I don't really understand why they couldn't have just named them Tom, Dick, and Harry, but they didn't. They have all of these long names, Andronicus, Junia, but there's a few little things that I want you to focus on, all right? I want you to notice when Paul speaks of Andronicus and Junia, he refers to them as his kinsmen who were in the Lord before he was. So in other words, Paul has some relatives who got saved before he did. And then let's go on down to that last verse I read. And he spoke of Rufus, and he referred to him, and he said, and his mother and mine. Now, I understand there's some question as to whether or not Paul is speaking of his spiritual mother. But if we, for the sake of you seminary students, if we apply a literal hermeneutic to this, or a little interpretation, when Paul speaks of his mother and mine, we could interpret that Paul is speaking of his own mother. So if for just a little while you give me the benefit of the doubt, I'd like to preach to you on who would have ever thought. Now, we've got Andronicus Junior. They have been saved before Paul. They are Paul's relatives. Now, we've got Paul, who speaks of his mother, who obviously is saved. So now, let's go back 2,000 years, if you will. Let's backtrack. Now, 2,000 years ago, they would not have met in a nice building like this. They wouldn't. That was not where the church got started. Now, in the initial days, after the resurrection and ascension, they tried going back to the synagogue. Some of them even went to the temple. But that didn't work. It wasn't long. They got kicked out. They weren't welcome there because they preached Jesus raised from the dead. Now, it didn't go over too well with the local theologians. And so they soon find themselves kicked out, and they begin meeting in little houses, just small little houses. They had house churches. Now, if you've never been in a house church meeting, you don't understand maybe the dynamics of that. Sister Hudson and I, of course, working in Myanmar, and we have been in a lot of house services. And I remember one little service we were in, Brother Mark, and the living room wasn't hardly as big as from where that makes that break and that makes that break right back to here. They had about 70 people crammed in that little house. Now, you got to understand, Burmese people are very small. We look like giants against them. I mean, literally, we do. But even at that, this building is packed out. And so you kind of get a feel. This is what's going on in the days of the early church. They're meeting in houses. They're having church in houses. And you read it, you find out that you can have a Holy Ghost meeting in your house if you so choose to, because on numerous occasions, amen, the Lord moved in a little house. You don't even have to have a big congregation. Thank God for this size congregation here today. But if you think you've got to be in a size like this, then you'll forget that you can be in your little house this and with your friends, and the Holy Ghost can move. You hear me? But so here they are. Now let's follow this. We got Andronicus and Junia, and we got Paul. At that time, he's known as Saul. Now, he is one of the most promising PhDs of his day. He has sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He is well known. He is renowned among all of the scholars, and he is so devoted to the Jewish law and the Jewish religion. But he has some family members that get saved, and he's got a mother who may be saved, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But can you imagine going to a little house church some 2,000 years ago, and they're having a little, would you say, cottage prayer meeting, and the elder in charge looks over here and says, does anybody have a prayer request? What is that, brother? Yeah, brother Junior, what is your prayer request? I see Junior's hand go up and say, brother, I want you to remember, I've got a relative by the name of Saul, and he is lost, and he needs to be saved. Would you pray for Saul? And then they move on over, and any of you sisters got a prayer request? There's a little old lady, she's hard of hearing, and she raises her feeble hand, and she said, I want you to pray for my boy Saul. Saul needs to be saved. Would you pray? And somebody snickers answers and says, that old lady, she didn't hear. But Junia has already requested prayer for her boy. And so we come back to the next service, and the elder says, anybody got a request? And Andronicus raises his hand and said, oh, would you remember, I've got a relative by the name of Saul, and he needs to be saved. And he said that, and the rest of the church did about like we do when somebody says, pray for my lost. We kind of write it off and say, there's just no way it'll ever happen. There's no way it could ever be. And so we mumble a little prayer, God, would you remember this one? And then, do any of you sisters have a prayer request? A little old feeble hand goes up, and a little lady said, pray for my boy Saul. He's getting worse and worse and worse. And somebody snickers and said, oh, Granny didn't hear, but Andronicus already turned in that request. I'm going to tell you, I dare say there were plenty of times when they walked out the service, the devil said, you idiot, you know Saul will never be saved. I'm going to tell you, you're sitting in this building today, you've already heard it more than one time, that your loss will never be saved. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's not the one who'll save them. It's the Lord that has the power to save them. And don't you drop your voice one time. If anything, you raise that hand again and you say, pray for my boy. Pray for my husband. He's lost and he needs to be saved. And somebody say, amen. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost up here, and I got 15 more minutes. Time moves on. Instead of getting better, Saul gets worse. I wonder, Brother Austin, if it had to do with him breathing out slaughterings, if it had to do when some of his family got saved. It's bad enough for the rest of them, but when his family got saved and started going to that Holy Church, it irked their insides. You hear me? He got boiling mad. And here we go. We're back in a little college prayer meeting. Anybody got a prayer request? Here goes that little feeble hand, that little mama, gray-haired mama, said, pray for my boy Saul. Said, the more I talk to him, the worse he gets. He won't listen. He won't listen to, if anything, he get. Have you ever tried to talk to him and see, instead of getting any better, it just got worse? Are you hearing me? Go, let me preach to you just a little while. You pray for him, instead of getting better, they get worse. That's the way it was with Saul. But reading this, somehow I realized there was something amazing about this. It didn't matter how bad he got, the hand still went up. Remember Saul. I don't care how hopeless it's. Remember my boy, Saul. He needs to be saved. Are you hearing me today? How many of you ever have heard the voice of the devil and discouragement say, don't pray for them. They're only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Oh, you listen to me. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil himself. But I'm here to tell you today, keep on praying. Keep on calling their name out. Keep on mentioning them before the throne. And don't be afraid on a Wednesday night. Amen. Don't be afraid to raise your hand again and say, pray for my lost boy, that God will save him. Let me preach. And so, can you imagine now, follow me here. We've got a little service, and in walks the lady, and she's weeping and crying. And somebody says, what's wrong, sis? And she says, my husband has just been arrested. Saul dragged him out of the house and took him to jail. And over there steps out a little grandma. She takes her by the hand and said, I'm so sorry. That's my boy. I'm so sorry. Have you ever been embarrassed by what your loss did? As your lost companion, your lost children, have they ever embarrassed you for what they did? If you're not careful, the devil will talk you out of calling their name because of embarrassment. Are you hearing me this morning? the devil will say, shh, don't mention their name now, because everybody knows what they've been doing. But it didn't matter. I can still see Brother Austin, that little old grandma, as she raised her hand, said, pray for Saul, that Saul will get saved. Pray for Saul. And everybody sitting there in that congregation saying, oh, God bless Grandma. She really means well. God help Grandma. It'll never happen. 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 But oh, I hear yet still. I'm going to tell you right now, I've kind of observed this over time. If there's any one thing that lost people don't want to hear, that's the fact that somebody is calling their name out before God publicly and loudly. If you go up in the Richlands area, several years ago when our girls were small, we went and found the grave of Robert Sayers Sheffy. And he was a circuit riding preacher. He actually preached up in Richland in the 1800s. And he was known, very well known. If you ever get a chance to read after him, it would do you good. Not a great preacher, but a man of great faith and prayer. And he was known to pray 4 and 5 hours at a time. But one time, he got some guys all riled up, and he was riding down the road, and they attacked him, jumped him, pulled him off of his horse, and started stomping him, punched him in the face, in the mouth, bloody nose, and he's trying to reason with them. And this is what they said: we don't mind you praying, but we don't want you calling our name out in prayer like you've been doing. He said, I mean you no harm, but I'll keep on calling your name. I'm going to tell you, if you let the devil will shut you up. But I'm going to tell you, every chance you get, you call out their name where it can be heard. I'm not talking about being mean and ugly, but oh God, would you, Lord, please say, I can still hear it. Anybody got a prayer? Hell yeah. Andronicus, I know. Junior, I know. Yeah, Grandma, I already know, but say it anyway. Pray for my boy Saul that he'll be saved. And lo and behold, one day, you got to keep this contextually too. It's hard to understand. This is back in the day where they didn't even have a cell phone. They couldn't text. I remember those days. Does anybody else? Yeah. Cell phone, what's that? Sometime I wish we could remember those days. And yeah, all right. Anyway, all right. Saul is now on his way to Damascus. He is so boiling mad. My relatives have embraced this. My mama, I'm sick of this. I've had it. I'm going to. And a strange event occurs on the road to Damascus. Saul is smitten down. He sees a bright light. And he hears a voice. I want you to notice this. That called him by his name. And that voice said, Saul, Saul. I can see him, Brother Roston, as he is laying there thinking, he knows my name. How does he know my name? Well, first of all, he's God, but I can hear God saying, Saul, I've heard your name called so many times in a prayer meeting. I've heard your mama call your name so many times in prayer. Saul, I know who you are. I'm going to tell you, it's not just the fact that God was God, but he had done heard Saul, you helping me right now. I'm telling you, whatever you do, don't you quit praying for your lost. I said, whatever you do, don't you quit praying for a backslider. Whatever you do, it may seem impossible, but there is a God in heaven who does know how, amen, to meet them on the Damascus Road, and he knows how to talk to them in a language, in a way that they understand. Notice, amen, not only did Saul sit there, lay there, not only did the Lord know his name, but notice, Saul didn't just say, who art thou? He said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Somehow in the back of his mind, I could hear him say, mama's been praying for me. In the back of his mind, he knew that mama was a praying. He knew that Andronicus was a praying. He knew. And so when he heard the voice, there's only one that it could be. He said, Lord, Lord, Lord. What? will you have me to do? Somewhere, away off, in another service, somebody says, pray for Saul. Jacob, you're weeping over nothing. You're weeping over your dead son, Joseph. You're weeping over nothing. That boy is not dead. He is alive. You won't know it for a while, but you're really weeping over nothing. And so somewhere that little mama raises her hand. Pray for Saul, unawares that that moment Saul is lying in a bed and cannot see. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I said, I feel the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. And so, can you just imagine? Brother Mike, Granny's in her house praying, oh God, touch Saul. And all of a sudden she hears a screaming and a hollering. Somebody running down the road saying, Mama, 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 Mama. She jumps up. She goes to the door and says, What's wrong? Mama, Mama, we just got word. Saul got saved. Saul got saved. You know what? What? Saul got saved. I can see her and her little bit of doubt like me and you. Oh, come on now. No, Mama, he got saved. The Lord spoke to him on the road to Damascus. I can see that little mama shouting and dancing and saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I knew you were going to do it. I'm going to tell somebody here today, I believe you will see a day when you'll shout. You may weep right now, but I'm believing by faith that there will be a day your weeping will be turned into laughter, because God is going to bring them in. Somebody help me while I preach. Oh, if I were you right now and had a lost loved one, I'd throw my hand up and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. A little dancing in that. I can see her. She says, hand me my cane. I want to shout, boys. I can see her dancing. I can hear her saying, oh, who would have ever thought that Saul would get saved when he got saved? Who would have ever thought? So we go back to the next church service. They're bubbling. They can't wait. They just can't hardly wait. And for some reason, Brother Mark, the elder asked for another song. And they can't hardly wait for testimony. Or they can't hardly wait for a prayer request. And then the elder said, well, maybe we'll have another song. And it's sitting there, you know. And so the elder said, anybody got a testimony? Or anybody want to have a prayer request? And Andronicus just jumps up. And when he jumps up, Junior jumps up. And everybody's going to say, all right. We know what it is. And all of a sudden they break out in a shout. And I had a brother-in-law, still got one. He was notorious. When he was preaching, he would think about what he's getting ready to say. He'd get happy and start shouting. And we're sitting there thinking, what you shouting over? Well, he knew what he was going to say. And he's already shouting. I believe it was that way. Andronicus and Junior jumped up. And they got to shouting. And a little granny got up over there. And they got out and said, Saul got saved. Saul got saved. And somebody said, no. Saul? No, yeah, he did. He had a vision. The Lord appeared to him. And that church that whole day jumped up and rejoiced, said, who would have ever thought that my boy, that my relative, are you hearing me today? I know you can't save him. I know you can't change him. But there is a God in heaven who knows how to do it. Somebody say amen. Oh. Oh. Time rolls on. It's a little house service. They're having a guest speaker today. Now, a second century description of Saul. Paul is short, big nose, poor eyesight. Many believe, of course, that he suffered a loss of vision due to the vision on the Damascus Road. Be that as it may, the day came when the door opened and in walks a little fella. His eyes aren't real good. He sits down, and the presiding elder says, "We're so happy today to have a guest preacher, and I'm going to turn the service to Brother Paul." That morning, he could have preached on the three little pigs, and I have. I'll put that in right next to yours in the gingerbread man. I mean, it might be a classic. Yeah, three little pigs. Yeah. You know, that third pig, he built his house on the rock. Yeah, he built it out of bricks. You hear me now. But I declare that morning, that man could have preached on Goldilocks and the three bears. Back there, over there is little old grandma. She can't contain herself, tears streaming down her face. She's jumping up and down. That's her boy. She's shouting. Over here is Andronicus and Junie. They don't even know what he's saying. They're just shouting and carrying on. Paul said, "Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Could y'all quieten down a little bit so the rest of you don't understand, Paul? You don't understand how many times we prayed for you. You don't understand how often we wept and cried and called your name before God." I hear Paul say, "Go ahead and shout, shout on." I hear that little mama saying, "Who would have ever thought who my boy would make a preacher and a holiness preacher and that?" Andronicus and Junia jumping up and down saying, "Who'd ever thought, oh, our relative would make a preacher, let alone a holiness preacher?" And the little church there still sitting in disbelief. They won't, but after a while they join in and say, "Who would ever thought that one that we gave no hope for is now preaching the gospel?" Are you understanding me this morning? The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Don't you quit praying for them. Don't you quit calling their name. Don't you quit requesting prayer in church. You keep calling their name and believing that God is going to do what he said. Early this morning, I felt the Lord nudge me this way. I've already heard some of you yesterday tell me some of your children and grandchildren that are astray. Some of you have husbands, and maybe some of you have wives. It may be that you're even in this building today and you're lost. And the devil will say, as you look into this congregation, "Wow, these people, look. And the devil will say to you, "You could never be like them." I'll take a little poll here. How many of you today are saved? Raise your hand. Of all of you that were saved, how many of you were ever lost? Look around you, my friend. When Paul goes through in the book of Corinthians, when he goes through there and says, all of that listing of those that are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, he said, "And such were some of you." Now you're washed, justified, sanctified. I want to tell you, every saved person you look at today was one time lost and on their way to hell just like you. And if you'd have seen some of these people sitting here now, you'd have had to say, "Who would have ever thought that sorry no good would be in the house of the Lord?" Say, I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're lost, the same Lord that saved us can save you. The same Lord that delivered us. Can the church help me right now? I said, the same Lord that delivered us can deliver you. And he can do the impossible, so much so that in days to come, somebody could look at you and say, "Who would have ever thought?" I feel like shouting right now. I do. I said, glory to God in what God can do in a little service, if you will, on a Sunday morning, made up of mostly, as far as I know, just us white folks. But God is more than willing to save if you will give him that opportunity. How many of you, be honest, you've got lost loved ones. Now, how many have ever heard that little voice say, wasting your time, don't even bother? How many of you ever prayed and seemed like the more you pray, the worse it gets? And the devil says, see there? May I sidetrack for, it's 12:03. May I have 5 more minutes? Have you ever read in the scripture where the psalmist said, as the heaven is high above the earth, so is his mercy? Have you ever read that? Have you ever read that? Do you know Albert Einstein? I think he might have been kin to Donald Trump. He didn't know how to comb his hair. Yeah. I voted for I wasn't not supposed to get political, are we? All right. Okay. But Einstein proved conclusively that time, space, and matter, the realm in which we live, the universe at one time did not exist, and then in a moment suddenly came into being. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, he had to get his PhD in physics to figure that out. And the Bible said, in the beginning, God created nothing and something. Praise Sister Hudson. It's easy to get sidetracked here. But Einstein, in his general theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. I'll let Brother Ralston explain that tonight. I don't have a clue. But with his theories, one of his theories was that if true, that the universe did come into existence in a moment, at that time, steady state, the earth was eternal, the under which eternal was accepted by most scientists. And he said, no, it didn't happen that way. And so his theory suggested if true, well, it's getting too close to the Bible. Einstein's getting nervous, didn't even like it. He fudged his equation to prove that he was wrong. Because by the law of causality, everything that has a beginning must have a cause. And if the universe had a beginning, it had to have a cause. You're nodding over there, Brother Austin. And so, he also said that if true, his theory was true, that the universe would be in a state of expansion. Meaning, we're here right now. We come back tonight. You come back tonight. The universe will be here. The next day, it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. In 1929, at the Mount Wilson Observatory in Pasadena, California, Dr. Edwin Hubble, that ring a bell, was looking through his telescope, and he saw a red light shift up there in the starry sky. And that was proof that the universe was expanding and getting bigger. If he'd seen a blue light, it would have meant, I don't understand that either. But Einstein saw it. Since then, his theory has been proven accurate to the fifth decimal point, whatever that means. You mathematicians can figure it out. What's the point, preacher? God, in his holy writ, compared his mercy to the universe. Are you hearing me? As the heaven is high above the earth. You look into the starry sky at night, and you look like you can tiptoe from one star to the next. Ever noted that? The average distance between any two stars is 30 trillion miles. Let's put that in our vernacular. Going at the speed of the now decommissioned space shuttle when it was in space, going 18,000 miles per hour, 5 miles per second, to go from star A to star B, 30 trillion miles, would take you approximately 201,450 years. And now cosmologists tell us that the number of stars in the known universe are equivalent to the number of grains of sand on every beach around the world, and any two are 30 trillion miles apart. You want an understanding of how great God's mercy is? Look up in that sky. And God says, that's like my mercy. You take a tape measure and measure it if you can. But you prayed and said, oh, God, they're getting worse and worse and worse. But God said his mercy is like the universe. And we know that the universe is getting bigger. So that means if God's mercy is like the universe, that means God's mercy is getting greater. Oh, you're not going to help me, are you? And Paul said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It matters not how wicked they get. It's like God's mercy is always one step ahead of the most. Oh, somebody say amen. Next time the devil tells you there's no hope for your loss, you go up, point him up to the starry sky above, hand him, a tape measure and say, you measure it, devil. That's like God's mercy. That's why I'm saved. And furthermore, they may be getting worse, but God's mercy is getting greater. I'm going to keep praying and believing that God is going to save my loss. Would you stand? Would you stand? Would you stand? Would you stand? I hope I've not wearied your patience. You certainly haven't wearied mine. I have enjoyed preaching to you this morning. We will quickly make our exit. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your kindness. We'll be on the way home to unpack, to repack, to head to Kentucky tomorrow. But I do want to say to the pastor, thank you for staying today. He knows what I'm talking about. That's our little private. But if you're here today and you're lost, you too can be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to linger long here. Is there one here today that would feel the need of prayer? You're lost. You say, preacher, yeah, it seems impossible, but I surely would love to pray today. Are you here? Why don't you come on, sir? Why don't you come on, ma'am? How many of you now will be honest? Raise your hand. Devil's been working me over. Come, see if you want to come sing, just however you want to do it. How many? Raise that hand one more time. I've got lost, and the devil's just working me over. I wonder today if you would come down to this altar and not just bury your head, but I'd like to hear you down around this altar, kneeling, standing. I'd like to hear you calling their name loudly. You don't have to scream, but I'm just encouraging you today to keep calling their name. Come on, you've got a loss today. Everybody knows it. Nothing to be ashamed of. We're just looking for God to work. Come on. Is this all right? Is this how you do on Sunday morning? Would you find a place? You might not be able to get down here. Maybe you're going to kneel at your pew, but would you just call out their name? Would you call out their name? And if he's listening, I'm calling your name, Tim Morgan. I'm not afraid to do it. I'm praying for you, boy. Oh, somebody call out their name right now and believe that the Lord. And one day you will too be able to justify and say, who would have ever thought?
Somebody knocked upon heaven's door. Somebody touched the Lord. My soul was sick and dying, bound.